Well, this is Gideon Rothstein. This is Perek Lamed Tet of Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 39 of the book of Yechezkel. And while it is counted as among the Nivuot Nechama, it is a prophecy of comfort for the Jewish people. It is a continuation of the discussion with Gog Magog and a description of the aftermath of the war that will happen with them. And that aftermath is one that, for all that it in the sum total will be for the good of the Jewish people and for the good of Hashem's name in the world, is kind of upsetting in the way that we see it, and is the kind of thing which I've, as I pointed out on other occasions, is the kind of nevuah that you might hope isn't required to come true. Just a point to make here that I should have made in the previous parak, that the Ramban says in Bamidbar, he just points out that the word Gog, or the name Gog, is like Paro, or even like Agag, according to him, that the leader of certain countries always has the same name. So Gog is not the specific name of the leader, but rather is the name of the title. That being true, then it also leaves open the possibility that Gog doesn't have to be the right word. It could just be the word that's used in Tanakh, but it might be that the word is premier or prime minister or leader, supreme leader for life or whatever it is, but it's a reference to the leader of this particular nation. Yeah, and that's who we're addressing. That's who Hashem is addressing Himself to. So the perek starts v'etav en adam yinaveh al gog v'amarta kolmar Hashem elokim hinni alecha gog nasi rosh meshech v'tuval. So there's a continuation. So therefore Yechezkel is told to prophesy against Gog and to say, this is what Hashem says to you: I am turning myself towards you, the head of meshech v'tuval v'shovav ticha v'shishay ticha v'haliticha miyarkatei tzafon v'yoticha al haray Yisrael. I'm going to play around with you is basically what we mean. V'shovavticha v'sheisheiticha. Rashi says, the Radak says, v'sheisheiticha, that is b'lashon shisha, klamar shlisha, erbahem kim shishita machaneh, that I'm going to fool with you so that only a sixth of you are left. Now that's a huge thing, meaning if you think about, let's say, in Iraq right now, we've lost, the American people have lost over 4,000 soldiers in the course of 5 years of battle in an army that is 130,000 strong, so it's less than 4%, somewhere between 3 and 4%. So now we're talking about 83%, 84% of an army of a people being destroyed. That would be a huge set of losses. V'yesh mefarshei moto lefin yano achritcha o achrifcha, that I'll destroy you. And then he quotes his father as saying that there are going to be six different judgments, six different ways that they're going to be destroyed. And then he produces from the previous parak, it's going to be dam and avnei gavish and geshem shotef and eish kofri, and there are six of them. But in any case, v'shovav ticha v'shishay ticha means I'm going to. You'll remember that Rashi in the previous parak had said shovav ticha means I'll lead you. I'll get your heart to lead you to these places, and I'll bring you up from the north to the mountains of Israel. So pasuk gimel v'hikiti kashtecha miyad smolecha v'chitzecha miyad yimincha apil. So I'm going to hit you and strike you until all your power is gone, is basically what we mean. So the literal meaning is, I'll get your keshet, your bow out of your left hand, then your arrows I'll knock out of your right hand. So the Radak says, on Hikedi Kashtacha, I'm going to hit it until it falls out of your left hand. So they're speaking of bows and arrows, but the transfer is that whatever your sources of power, whatever your arms are, whatever your ways of dealing out destruction to others and death to others, I'm going to knock out of you. Al harei Yisrael tipol, and you'll fall on the mountains of Israel. Ata v'chol gapecha, all those who are with you, v'amim asher itach, all the nations that are with you, le'et tzipor kol kanaf, v'chayat haseden etaticha le'ochla, and I'm going to give you as food, right? Le'et, as carrion, right? The le'et tzipor, I'm sorry, kol kanaf, all the birds that, all the types of birds that eat the dead bodies and all the animals, they're going to come and eat your corpses. So the prediction is that there's going to be a war. We saw that in the previous chapter. And in this war, Gog and Magog and all of his vast armies are going to actually be there, right? Nowadays, a lot of times in war, we don't expect the armies to be so present. There's bombing from afar. There's all sorts of ways of avoiding actually being part of the war. But here the prediction is that the leader of this nation will come and conduct the war himself, and he'll be involved in the war, and he will fall in that war, and not only will he fall, but many, many, how many is, we saw the Radak suggests that it might be a full 5/6 of this attacking army will fall, and their corpses will lie there out in public. Al-Panei HaSadeh Tipol, Ki Ani Dibarti Nu Hashem Elokim, and it'll be in the fields, V'Shilachti Esh B'Magog, And I will send the fire to, through Magog, and all those who live in the various coastlands, and they think they live securely, back to Viaduk and Hashem, and then they will know that I am God. Meshim Kachiodia, Pitocham Yisrael, and in my holy name, my sanctified name, I will let be known among the Jewish people. Velo Achel Hashem Kachiod, and no longer will my name be profaned. No longer will people treat it lightly. And now a new element to it, and the other nations will finally and fully know that I am Hashem, Kadosh B'Yisrael, sanctified within the Jewish people, meaning that it's God's relationship with us. Not only will they know that Hashem runs the world, but they will now come to understand and know that Hashem runs the world through His relationship with us being some special part of it. Rashi points out, V'lo Achel Hashem Kodshi, Shiflutam Shel Yisrael Chilul Shmohu. We saw that pasuk before, that verse before, that when the Jewish people are suffering, so that is a desecration of God's name in a certain way, because other nations do say sometimes, well, look, they claim they're God's people, or they are God's people, and apparently God is not able to save them from the troubles that they are having now. So it's a two-sided street, this relationship, and here, the beginning, and what Hashem is saying is that second side, where Hashem allows us to be hurt and defeated and destroyed and lowered, all of that will stop. Hashem will no longer allow His name to be desecrated in that way, and it will become clear to all that Hashem is the ruler of the world. All the nation will know that not only that He is Hashem, and the second part of it, and perhaps equally important part of it, that Hashem is Kadosh B'Yisrael, is sanctified through the relationship with us. It's coming, it's going to happen. This is the day that I predicted and I've spoken about, and that is approaching and is arriving. So, Pasuk Ted, V'yatzu Yoshvei Arei Yisrael U'V'aru V'hisiku B'neshek U'magein V'tzina B'keshet V'chitzim U'makel Yad U'V'romach U'V'aru V'hem Eish Sheva Shanim. So the Jews are going to go out, the Pasuk says, and they're going to build fires, and they're going to be able to fuel these fires. Uviaru, they're going to be ridding the land of all of these weapons, right? We said in the previous chapter that Gog and Magog are going to come with various weapons and buckles and armor and shields and all these things, and then bows and arrows. So the Jews are going to build a fire, and they're going to use the neshek to burn this fire for 7 years. So how you would transfer that to modern times is unclear. It's perhaps true. It's perhaps true that you could say that what's going on here is that the weapons will be left when they lose, whatever that weaponry is, and that the Jewish people will have no need or interest in that weaponry, and therefore they will use that weaponry for fuel of some sort. So nowadays it's not so easy to turn weaponry into fuel, although if, and I'm just guessing, but if that weaponry is nuclear, and in some way the Jewish people or Hashem helps the Jewish people understand how to avoid that nuclear weaponry, but it has some nuclear fuel in it, and then we use that fuel or something along those lines, then it could be something like that. Their energy needs will be completely taken care of for 7 years afterwards. It would be something like that. At the very lowest level, let's say, if it's tanks, if it's metal, you can burn off the metal. You usually have to expend energy burning metal rather than having the metal produce energy for you. That's what it seems, but Pasuk Yud says, confirms that. They won't need to down trees for burning, for fuel. In our times, that would suggest that it would be that we would be free of the need for oil for 7 years. Giva neshek, giva arueh, just from the neshek, just from the weaponry that they're going to be able to use. V'shadalu v'shadalehim v'azur v'bozuzehim nu mashem lokim, and they will therefore, and this will be an example of them taking spoils from those who came thinking that they would take spoils from the Jewish people. Right? They will be the one. They will become the spoilers rather than the spoilees. That's what Hashem is saying. Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'ya b'yamahu etein l'gog mekom sham kever b'Yisrael. So Hashem says, so Gog is really dead by now, literally dead, but Hashem says he will have a burial place, right? It's not going to be true that Gog is just going to lie there in public. We said the corpses are out there, they're going to be seen, they're going to be eaten somewhat by the animals and by the birds, but they're not going to be completely eaten. Rather, Hashem is going to arrange it that they are going to get buried in the land of Israel. And Rashi says, because he is from the descendants of Yefet, right? So Gog is seen as being Greece or somewhere outside of the, it wouldn't seem to be within the Yishmael, the Arabic world that we're talking about here. Gog seems to be some outer power because it's a descendant of Yefet rather than descendant of Yishmael. So this descendant of Yefet, and since Yefet in the story with Noach and Bereshit right after the flood, and he covers over Noach's embarrassment, therefore he will get to be covered over even though he doesn't fully deserve it. So, and he's going to have a keber. Geho Ovrim Kidmat Hayam. They'll have it in Geho Ovrim. GPS is the Valley of the Travelers. It'll be east of the sea, somewhere on the Mediterranean coast or near the Mediterranean coast. There'll be these mass graves, and how the Jewish people will do it, we'll see in a minute. But just in terms of the technicalities of where they'll be placed, so that's not defined here. Vechosemeti at the Ovrim, since all these corpses are. Have been stopping people from passing by. So Rashi says, people won't be able to get by because there will be so many corpses. And I just want to notice, it's important, I think it's part of the perek to notice that the level of death that we're discussing here. There are so many corpses that people won't be able to get by. That's what Rashi says. The Radax is not quite that bad, but that the smell of the corpses will make it that they, not they can't get by, but they will cover their noses, right? Chosemeti means causes them to block something. So Rashi has it as blocking the way. The Radak has it that they're going to block their noses because of the smell, but, and it's going to take, we're going to see in a second, it's going to take a while to get rid of this, of these corpses. It's not going to happen right away. So if you want to put this into a picture in your mind, it's not the kind of a picture of, you know, Hashem comes and saves the day and everything's great. It's more a picture of Hashem comes and saves the day. Everybody realizes that Hashem has saved the day, and yet it takes a long time to recover from it anyway. So that's really more the picture here that's going on, and this is one example of it, right? You know, at least according to Rashi, you've got so many corpses, they're going to bury the corpses, and that will be seen, we'll see in a second, as a kindness of the Jews that they bury these corpses. But in burying these corpses until then have blocked the way. And you can't walk in Eretz Yisrael as you used to be able to because of so many corpses there being there. And they'll change the name of it. So instead of calling it Geho Vrim, the valley where people travel, they're going to call it Gehamon Gog, the valley in which the masses of Gog have been buried. And the Jews will do it, and they'll be doing it, it seems in the Pasuk, for the purpose of cleansing the land, of ridding the land of these of these bodies, lema v'shiva chodashim, and it'll take 7 months. So the Radak points out, kvarum, and Hashem commands us in the Torah that when there are people who deserve the death penalty and they're hung, we're supposed to cut them down after the day. It's only they can't stay overnight hung up because it's an embarrassment to have corpses out, and because the corpses, as the Radak says, are defile the land in some way, and therefore we're required to bury them. And he says in Yehoshua, also you have burying like that, and so too with Gog. It's going to take 7 months. The people, in general, the Jewish people as a whole, it seems like, the general populace, will be involved in burying. So yeah, so if we're thinking about this in real-life terms and thinking about what it would mean that something will happen, and nowadays we tend to think nuclear, except that it's unclear how the Jews themselves will have survived it. Unclear. No discussion made of that. It seems like Jews will survive. Whether it's all the Jews or just some of the Jews is not clear, but many, many Jews will survive. Enough Jews will survive. They'll be burying these remnants of Go for 7 months. And they'll be doing it. The Radak seems to mean they'll be doing it because we know that you're not allowed to leave dead bodies lying around in Eretz Yisrael. So they'll have their own purposes they'll be doing it for. And yet, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'kavru kol am ha'aretz v'yalahem l'shem yom hikavadi nu'ma shem elokim. So, ha'yalahem l'shem means they'll get a good name for it. They'll get famous for this act of theirs of burying all these people. So, Rashi says that non-Jewish nations will speak about us praisingly about this kindness that we're doing. Right? And the reason it's a kindness is these people came to attack us, and then they got destroyed by Hashem, and then we spend our time, instead of just treating them disrespectfully or tossing them aside, we make sure to bury them, to give them an appropriate burial, and that the non-Jewish nations will take as an example of our great kindness and our greatness, and they will give us praise for it. They will speak well of us for it in the day that Hashem has created kavod for himself by destroying Gog. Radak has a twist on it that makes it even that puts a new light on it, in that he says that they will mention us for the good, they will praise us for this, even though that's not our purposes, right? Our purpose was, in the Radax reading, our purpose was to rid the land of Israel of these open corpses, because the land of Israel is not supposed to have corpses just lying around rotting in it. So we're doing it for our own purposes, and yet, the Radak says, we'll get a name among the Jewish nations for what we've done. It would be an example of us being Shiloh Lishma, and them treating us as if we're doing it for the absolute right reason. So that's a different way of looking at it. That would be a different construction of the way the history of that time will go. There will be people whose job, even after the 7 months, there will be people whose job will remain to pass through the land, because they will, for days, months, years to come, find corpses that haven't been covered. So 7 months will do the majority of the job, 7 months of burying, and that's by the general populace. So it's unclear if general populace means 99% of the populace, or 55% of the populace, or even only 40% of the populace, whatever it is. Some large group of people will be spending lots of time burying. Sadly, in the United States, we have some image of this from the tragic events of 9/11, where for months afterwards there were people clearing rubble and trying to bring to burial people who had not yet been brought to burial. And here too you have a similar idea, because and this is at the end of the 7 months, they will be looking and investigating, right? Rashi points out, for 7 months everybody's going to be burying, it's going to be clear where there are corpses, there's going to be corpses all over the place, and you'll be going off and burying. But after that time, when most of the corpses will have been buried, so then you'll have this group of people, this unit, whoever they'll be, some kind of a chevra kadisha, perhaps some kind of a unit of people who decide to spend their time wandering the country, looking at all of the hidden places to bury what they find. So I'm saying this fairly matter-of-factly, but I don't want to minimize the horror of it, because I think it's important to note. I'm trying to stay away from words that I tend to use. I think it's... It is an incomplete picture of what Yechezkel is telling us about Gog and Magog unless we experience the horror that will be involved. So while it is true that the prediction is that we will become well known as Hashem's nation, everybody will have to concede and understand that we are Hashem's nation, the cost of it will be that there will be a tragedy within Eretz Yisrael. It won't be us, as far as is told. It's not that Jewish people will have died in this, but that Gog and his armies will come and something will happen. So, an example that we have is the towers, two towers fall, 3,000 people are killed within it, and it takes months to find their corpses, and body pieces are being found months and months later. So here too, that I think is the best example, only it's 7 months to bury just the open and obvious corpses, and then you have a unit of people who are coming, and then Rashi's reading of it, have to ferret out, they have to be looking in all various sorts of hidden places to try to find them. And not only will that happen, but people will be passing through the land, they'll just be wandering in Eretz Yisrael, regular people, not part of this special unit, and they'll see the bone of a human being, and they will build a marker on that bone. They won't bury it, that's not their job, they don't know how to do it, they're not the experts, they don't have the places to bury it, they don't know where the places are that we do bury, we don't bury, because after all, at some point, Eretz Yisrael needs to know where all the dead are buried, just in terms of Tum and Tara issues. El Gei Hamon Gog. And then the Mekabrim will come, and they'll remove it to the place that had been set aside, this valley of Hamon Gog, and they'll remove it. So, if we're getting back to our image, our picture of trying to put this into a reality, it means that the experience of wandering through Eretz Yisrael on a teal, you go off on a teal with the family, and you have a picnic basket, and you walk, and you're thinking you're going to have a good time, you're going to go to a wadi, and you're going to sit by a spring, and everything's fine. And then, along the way, you will find a bone of a human being, and the job of a regular citizen at that point will be to build a marker over it, and then the burial unit will eventually come, and they'll remove it, and they'll push it, and they'll bury it in its appropriate place in the Gei Hamon Gog. And that's going to happen for I don't think there's a specific amount of time that we say that it's going to happen for, but it's going to be happening for a while. So 7 months of corpses, and then days, months, years of this kind of an experience where it's kind of ordinary to find the bone of a human being and have to build a marker over it and then go back to whatever you were doing. This pasuk actually becomes in halacha a relevant and interesting pasuk for a couple of reasons. One is that it is the source in the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Hem and Aleph, it is the source for the idea that we should build markers over grave sites. So it's not seen as halakhically the necessity of it. That is seen as being derabbanon, but it's seen as a remez. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, remez l'tzion kivarot min ha-Torah minayin. Where do you know that you have a remez, a hint, an indication that there's a value and it's appropriate to put a tzion, a marker, over graves, that gravestones are valuable, are worthwhile? And then it quotes our pasuk. So it's obviously only a remez because here it's a marker for the purpose of removing it to another place, and it's also because it doesn't actually say you have to do it, so they're doing it for their own particular purposes. But it's such a good indication, it's such a good hint, it's such a good citation, that the Gemara in Nida, Nun Vav and Vayit, is talking about Kutim, these groups of people who partially converted to Judaism were converted under suspicious auspices, and their observance of halacha wasn't what Chazal wanted it to be. So the Mishnah talks about various issues that when we find it in their houses, or we find things, or we have their testimony about the various things, some things we can trust them about, and some we can't, because they're not as careful about certain things about other things. But the Gemara there says that they are ne'emanin al tziyun kivarot, that they are believed when they say that this marker is a marker of a grave, that we believe them about. Why do we believe them about that? So the Gemara says, v'afal gav t'mi d'rabbanon hu, even though it's a d'rabbanon, and the general feeling was that the Kutim kept d'oraitzas but not the d'rabbanon, that they accepted what was written in the Torah, but not that which Chazal had established. Where it says, Kevan dechtiva mezer zehiriba. Since it is, however, written in Scripture, then they're very careful about it. So where is it written? Scripture, dechtiv, vera'a etz adam uvana etz lotzion, our pasuk. Meaning that the Kutim took our pasuk seriously enough, or understood our pasuk as being accurate enough, that they therefore became careful about this observance for all that it really is an observance to Rabbanon. It really is only ordained by the rabbis, not only, but it's ordained by the rabbis rather than by the Torah and a requirement of the Torah. The other piece in this puzzle, or in the other Gemara that I would note, is that the Gemara says that remez l'tzion kivarot min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we have a remez for tzion kivarot min ha-Torah? This is an example. There are others, but this is an example of where the Gemara, when it says min ha-Torah, from the Torah, is not always exact about the differentiation between Torah as in the five books of Moses, as in the Torah Misinai, and that which is written only in Tanakh. And we tend to often make that a very strong distinction, and in many halakhic contexts, in some halakhic contexts, it is a strong distinction. But here is an example of where in other halakhic contexts, in other contexts, let's say, it is not nearly as important of a distinction and as significant a distinction, and that the Gemara just sort of ignores it or lets it slide. This is an example of such a circumstance. V'gam sham pasuk tet v'zayin, v'gam shem ir hamona v'tiharu ha'aretz. And there will also be a city named Hamona, and the name of that city will be after this this mess of Gog and Magog, who will have been destroyed or gotten rid of, who will not survive this incident, this experience with Hashem creating punishment and death for Gog. And there'll be cities to record it. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vata Ben Adam, Kol Amar Hashem Elokim, Emor L'Tzipor Kol Kanaf L'Chochayat HaSadeh, Hikavtzu Vavo He'asu Misaviv Al Zivchi, Hashem Nizoveach Lachem Zevach Gadol, Al Harei Yisrael V'Achaltem Basar Ushtitem Dam. So Hashem says to Yechezkel, so now call out to all of the animals of all of the birds of the sky and the animals of the field, and tell them that I'm making a great. So here, zevach means not sacrifices in the sense of offering at an altar, but sacrifices, and I'm making a great meal for you, and you'll have meat and you'll have blood. You'll be able to eat the meat of heroes, of mighty warriors, and you'll be able to drink the blood of leaders of the world. Elim karim va'atudim parim v'ri'ei v'ashan kulam. And these are fatted animals. They are bull, rams, bulls, he-goats, all of the best animals that you could have want. And so Rashi says the meaning is kings, and he says vidukhasim, and dukes, and princes, and officers, and rulers, right? All of the nobility are going to be here. Now that, if we're trying to keep this as an image that could we can imagine becoming relevant to us and becoming true in some way, trying to build a picture of it, that's a hard picture, because nowadays it's even, not even rare, but it is rare to have, it's extremely rare to have leaders of that level go off to war. So you'd have to imagine for this nevuah to come fully true, and I'm not promoting it, but if this nevuah were going to come fully true, there would have to be a way for us to find a lure that would bring such level of leadership to participate in the war itself. What such a lure would be is unclear to me. I don't know the answer to that question, but it would have to be something that would come up here. Pasuk Yud-Tet, V'achaltem chelev lisov'ah, you'll have fat to eat till you're full. U'shtitem dam l'shikaron, you'll drink blood until you get drunk, meaning more than enough. Mizivchi asher zavachti lachem, from the meal that I'm going to make for you. U'svatem al shulchani susvarechem, you'll be full from my table of horses and chariots, gibor v'chol mishmachama, and warriors and any kind of fighting men, numa shalokim. V'natati et kevodi bagoyim, v'ruchol agoyim et mishpati asher asiti v'yadi asher samti v'chem. And I will make my honor known among the nations, and all the nations will see my laws that I have made and my hand that I placed upon them. So Rashi says, on v'yadu agoyim, when they see my heroism, they'll know that which the Jews were punished all the years before and they had suffered for all the years was not because of a lack of power on Hashem's part, but it was because it wasn't lack of power, it was because Hashem felt the need to, right? And they'll see all of my laws. I'm sorry, let me call Ben Kav Gimel and then be clear, because there's more viadus. Viadu be Yisrael kini Hashem Elokehem. The Jews will know that I am their God. They'll know it forever. On the knowing it forever, Rashi, the Radak says, they'll know it forever, meaning they'll no longer ever doubt Yechezkel. They'll, from that day on, people will know and understand that the Nevuot were all true and they will accept them. And then they'll also know that all that happened to us in history wasn't a lack of Hashem or Hashem being with us, it was because of our sins, that we didn't we treated Hashem wrongly, so Hashem hid his face, as it were, from us, and gave us into the hands of our enemies, and we fell by the sword. And now that kulam is perhaps a little encouraging, because it means if it's not really kulam but a lot of us, then perhaps when Hashem predicts that for other nations, it won't have to be kulam either. Hashem just gave us what we deserve based on our having defiled ourselves and the land of Israel, and like our sins Hashem did to us, and hid his countenance, his face from us. So by the end of this Gogu Magog experience and all this death and destruction, so that will be when Hashem finally makes the lessons that the Nevi'im have been trying to teach all along fully known, fully learned, and fully understood. And that's what we're moving towards, right? The full recognition of history, and that all of history when the Jews have suffered has not been a denial of the truth of the Jewish people. It will only have been a reflection of the fact that Jewish people have rejected Hashem and have been getting their punishment, and part of their punishment being that Hashem has hidden his face from us, has not had his full presence among us. Lachain ko'amar Hashem Elokim, ata ashiv et shivut Yaakov, v'richamti kol beit Yisrael, v'kineiti l'shem kodshi. Hashem says, therefore now I'm going to return the shivut Yaakov, the captivity of Yaakov, the exile. I'm going to have compassion, and I'm going to be mekanei, zealous, l'shem kodshi, for the sake of my divine name. The Jewish people will bear their embarrassment. Rashi says, when they get the good, and Hashem no longer does to us as like all our evil, so then we will be embarrassed, we will bear embarrassment, we'll be ashamed to show our faces. The Radak goes even a step, I think it's a step further, and the Radak says, Rashi has it that we'll recognize that we don't deserve it, we'll recognize our evils, and we'll keep that in our mind. The Radak thinks is just that we'll remember what our past used to be like, and that we'll be embarrassed or remember all of that embarrassment when we bishivtam alad matam levetach, when we once again have our land securely, then machri without anybody scaring us. Bishovio tamin amim, when I gathered them in from the other nations, gibatzu tamir tzotoy vehem, and I gathered them from the arid lands of their enemies, v'nigdashti vam le'nehagayim rabim, and I will be sanctified through them in the eyes of many nations. So Ramban and Chumash points out, and Rashi points out, other times that we've noticed and that we've seen that when Hashem gives us our salvation, so the other nations recognize that the name of Hashem is sanctified. V'yadukini Hashem Elokehem behagloti otam elagoyim v'chinastim alad matam. They'll know that I am God, I am their God, when I exile them to other nations, and now when I'm gathering them back to their land. V'lootir od mehem sham. So Rashi says, "Lootir od mehem sham" means I won't leave even one of them left out there. So for those of us who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a striking, not striking, it's an image, it's a expression to be reckoned with or to think about. Is it going to be true that in the time of the ingathering of exiles, of the real ingathering, the fullest ingathering, we're seeing the beginnings of it perhaps now, but in the fullest time, will it mean that no Jews will live outside of Eretz Yisrael anymore, and we will all live in Eretz Yisrael, or will there still be outposts of Jews? Here, in this portrayal of the way events will occur, it seems like none of them will be left out. Now, does that mean none of them will be left out against their will, meaning they'll have to stay out, or that none of them will be left out even if they would prefer to stay out? And there will no longer be a hiding of Hashem's face, Hashem's providence, that I poured out His Spirit on the Jewish people, meaning in punishing us. So that won't happen anymore. And since that won't happen anymore, there will be a full recognition of our role with Hashem. So this, and I'm already a little bit over time, but let me just take a minute to point out that this is an image of the way the future will unfold that I hope is upsetting to anybody who reads it, anybody who experiences it, right? I can't imagine, or I hope it's true, that there aren't people out there who are rooting for such a series of events to occur, saying, yeah, that's great. So many non-Jews will die, we'll just wipe them all out, they'll get killed, it'll be great, wonderful. I think that's not a Jewish experience of these prakim. And while it's true that Hashem is saying that Hashem's name will be made fully great and Hashem's name will be known, and that is of course a set of circumstances that we long for and hope for, that the world, including the Jewish people, will come to fully recognize Hashem's presence in the world and Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people, but that it will come at the cost, at such a great cost, is an outcome that I think we have to be devastated by and hope to find a way to avoid the full impact of, that there will be so many people killed in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish or not, and here it's not Jewish, but that there will be so many people killed in the land of Israel that it would take 7 months to clean up just the corpses that everybody can see, and then you'll have to have a group of people whose continuing job will be to do the mopping up work of that cleanup. So that's a horrifying kind of a thing. And I don't think that there's any reason that we should be hoping for it to happen. I think what we should be hoping in reading this parak is that we find other ways to produce the same result. Because I think it's true, it seems to me that it's true, that unless Hashem makes a shvuah, unless Hashem makes an oath, as I said in the previous parak, unless Hashem makes an oath about a specific series of events or a specific way for events to unfold, that there's always room for them not to unfold that way. And if the world, including the Jews, were to come to fully realize God's rulership over the universe, and we're to come to fully realize God's special relationship with the Jewish people, and that God guides history, and that we have to guide our history by those things that God has told us are that which God wants and prefers and expects of us, so that then we would have the ability to circumvent some of this and to have it occur in different ways and producing much less death and destruction along the way to what we're looking for, what we long for, Tikkun Olam Machut Shakai. So we leave this back again with the promise of ultimate, that necessarily we will ultimately be redeemed, we will ultimately be identified as Hashem's people, and left again, once again, with the question of how are we going to bring it about? Will it come about in a way that's horrific? And it might come out that way. At the end of the day, if it's necessary, I don't think a Jew is allowed to believe then it won't happen. It will happen one way or the other. Question is, which way? Will it be the one way or will it be the other? We will hope, I will hope, that it will be through the world in some way finally coming to accept and to realize the role of the Jewish people, and therefore avoiding this nevuah ever being fully actualized, because it's certainly a less ideal way of coming to the realize of Tikkun Olam Mechutzat Shakai, of the world coming to recognize and accept the kingdom of Hashem in the world. Have a great day.